God is good. And all the time. Good morning. It is great to see each and every one of you this morning. Thank you so much for being here. And I ask you to come on in and find a seat. And of course, you know, in good United Methodist fashion, there's plenty up front here if you're having trouble finding a seat back there. I welcome you. Thank you so much for being here. And, you know, it's a beautiful day, but it's pretty humid out there, isn't it? Whenever you wake up in the morning and the windows are fogged over, you know it's going to be a humid day, right? But everybody with me out there this morning? All right, okay. All right. If you are visiting with us today, we put out a special welcome to you. We thank you so much for your presence. And in your bulletin, there is what I call a third page that we named the connection card. I invite you to take that and fill it out. Put your name, address, telephone number, your contact information. On the back side of that is just some teams that we have, some questions for you if you would choose to answer those. And then once you do that, if you fold it back and forth a couple times, it does tear out. I invite you to do that. If you worship with us regularly, I invite you to fill that out as well so that we know that you are here. And then those who are visiting, if you would put that in the offering basket later on in the service, that would be your offering to us, and we just thank you for your presence. And for those who worship regularly, if you would put that in the offering basket with your offering, that would be awesome as well. There is a pink insert. If you would pay special attention to the pink insert, the worship team is planning a revival, kind of reunion type 160th anniversary celebration. It's on September 12th through the 16th. We are wanting to invite, for instance, if you know former members that have moved away and you've kept track of them, if you could write their names and their addresses and whatever you know, even if it's just the name, would you write that down? There's only room for one here, so turn on the back if you know more than one. Also, former pastors, if you happen to know where a former pastor is, let us know that address as well. Please turn these in the offering basket so that we can contact them. We are wanting to get a letter out to them, especially the pastors, with a deadline of July 15th so that we know if they're coming or not. So if you can do that as quickly as possible, or if you think of someone during the week, call the church office or email the church office. We would greatly appreciate that. There are, as always, many important announcements. Now, James, what time do we need to be here to pray for the youth group? So if you notice down here on the Memphis mission trip send-off, where it talks about the Ignite youth group, it says 10 till 8. Well, the youth don't get here until 8. And so you would be by yourself for a while on that. But if you would get here between 8:30 and 8:45, the youth will be done packing the trailers and such by that time. And we'll circle up and we'll have a prayer. Pray for the adults especially and the youth as well. That I believe, is it still 47 are going? Yes. 47 are going. Can you believe that, church? From this church to, yeah. And that is to spread God's love through our service. And our youth group do that a lot around here, don't they? They are a workhorse in this community. And I give God praise that I can be called their pastor. So anyway, pay attention to all of these announcements. Sorry, I'm saying a lot, aren't I? Pay attention to all of these announcements because they are important. Make sure you compare them to your calendar. I also want to say thank you to a young man who filled in for me last week, Randy Eaton. He did an awesome job, didn't he? Many of you said, Eric, we don't need to pay you anymore. So that just gives great confidence to you. No, seriously, thank you, Randy, so much for filling in. I appreciate it. So anyway, what a great church you all have here in this community. I thank you so much that I can be your pastor and that we can work together to spread God's kingdom and to do God's ministry in this community and around the world. Are you ready for an amazing worship service this morning?
Yes.
All right, let's have an opening prayer, and then we will begin with a prelude. Let's pray. Holy God, you are an amazing God, and we thank you so much for the fact that you have chosen to use us as a church, as a circuit for your ministry in this community and around the world. We ask for your powerful anointing to be upon us, God. As we gather together as a church community today, anoint us, Lord. Heal us. Give us whatever we need to empower us to do your will in this community, God. It is an amazing grace that you know our names. And it is just awesome that you've known us since before we were born. And you have made great plans for us. And we ask you, Lord, that today that you give us the power, give us the courage, Lord, to move into what you are blessing in this community. Gracious God, as we gather together, make us one with you and one with each other. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Would you please stand if you're able and sing Praise to the Lord the Almighty, number 139. We'll sing verses 1, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
And all you kids, young and old, whichever, come on down. I know this lady that's coming down to talk to you kids is very much a kid herself. I've known her for 41 years. She happens to be my mother-in-law. So she plays like a kid a lot, believe me.
Sing with me.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Ago, we had somebody in here who talked about Gideon Bibles. Well, the Gideons are a group all over who put Bibles in hotel rooms. No matter where you stay in a hotel room, you can find a Gideon Bible. The Gideons also sometimes will have a little table set up at the festivals and so on, and anybody that comes along, they give them a New Testament. And I got this one at a coal camp festival. And then one time I was on vacation in Hong Kong, China. And in the hotel room, it had this book. It says, Good News for Visitors. And on the back it says, Please carry me along with you. So I took it. But when I opened it, it's printed in Chinese. Well, can any of you read Chinese? Oh, me either. But then on the other side of the page, the whole thing is printed over again in English. And I can read English. Now, I like books. I really, really like books. And I was in a used bookstore. And then it had a sign saying, free Bible. So I went over and looked at him. And it says, the New Testament, recovery version. I never heard of a recovery version. But I kind of thought, well, maybe that's for people who have had problems or who have been ill or something. Because inside of it, there's all kinds of explanations about how much God loves us. Now, this Bible belonged to my brother Joe, who died about 6 years ago, and he liked to read it. And it is the King James Version. The King James Version was printed in beautiful old-fashioned language, and it reads almost like music because the language just flows. But so many people said, I don't like old-fashioned languages. I want something in today's language. So they made the Living Bible, which is paraphrased. And I would guess that a lot of people in our church right now have this one with a green cover. So which one do you think I read at in my house? Which one? Nope. I have the New Oxford Annotated, how do you pronounce that, Bible. But it is so big and so heavy and with a lot of notes in it and a lot of maps that I just keep it on the chair in my room, in my bedroom, because I don't want to carry it around. It's just so heavy. Want to lift that? Anyway, let's all say a prayer, should we? Dear Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for providing everyone so that they have the opportunity to to read your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Children will collect change during our next hymn. Our song of praise, Here I Am, Lord, number 593. Visiting with us today, our children collect missions or collect change each Sunday for missions. And last year, they collected $4,600 to help with our apportionments. And if you saw Eric and I running around up here, we were trying to find Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah, and he was a little bit out of place. He was hiding back in the bushes back here, so I guess he wasn't quite as hungry. But I don't know. He got fed pretty well, so. We appreciate all of those that support that for the children, and we appreciate the children taking time to help us with that. And now we come to our time of joys and concerns. And we have the greatest joy that I can imagine this morning to be thankful for. As you all know, Pastor Eric and Dave Bollinger went to annual conference. There you go. Annual conference last week. And we have had Pastor Eric with us for three glorious years now. We've had things happen in this church in the way of growth that is just unbelievable. And we've had people willing to take part in things and do things that they have stepped out of their ordinary. And it's all because of the leadership of this man and God, of course. But I would just like to announce that Pastor Eric and his family are going to be with us for at least one more year, many years we hope. And you can see what Jamie has done with the youth, and it's all as a family affair for them because Paul has got up and spoke, and I just thank God for them. And we just praise the Lord that you're with us for at least another year and many more to hope. Let's give him a hand.
Now, Jay, was that a joy or a concern now?
Well, I'm sure that it may be a concern for you.
No.
But for us, I think it's a joy. So, anyway, and speaking of the pastoral family, we've got a young man here on crutches, and we need to lift him up in our prayers because he's a football player, and our football team needs him. And he did great at summer camp, but the last play of the game, I believe it was, Paul, he got his knee messed up. And a knee is not a fun thing to mess up, and it's not fun to be on crutches. As you all know, I've been on crutches for for about 4 years I've been on crutches. So anyway, we just want to pray for you, Paul, and hope that you get well soon, and you can be on that football field. Just keep a positive attitude. You'll get there. Okay? All right. Also, I've had a... from the prayer box comes a note that Jackie Salas and Brent Whitaker, her father has been gravely injured and is not expected to survive. So we need to keep them in our prayers. We also need to keep the people from Arkansas that were involved in the flood down there that we've all seen on the news. It just seems like we have one tragedy after the other, and we need to certainly keep the people down in the Gulf situation and the oil spill. It's a tremendous thing that they're dealing with down there. Also, on the back of your bulletins, you will find the names of our people who are in the hospital and the nursing homes, and we just ask that you take this home with you. Keep it close to wherever you do your Bible study or your prayer time, and lift each one of these up in prayer daily by name. And also, of course, we always want to remember our veterans, and our not only our veterans, but thank them for their service, but we also want to remember our servicemen that are over there serving, the men and women that are risking their lives daily to keep freedom. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Oh, Lord God, we come praising you for the great news that Pastor Eric and his family are going to be here again for another year. We just praise you, Lord, for the work that you've done in this church through them, that we have great expectations, Lord, of things to come this next year and in the years beyond that. Lord, we thank you for each and every day that you give us, that we can serve you, that we can be a part of this church. Lord God, we pray for each person that's listed on our bulletin. We pray for each person that's involved in the flood and their families, and we pray for the people down in Louisiana and all along the coastline down there that are suffering from the loss of jobs and the damage the oil has done. Lord, we just lift up the families of Jackie Salas and Brent Whitaker with that they need your help. Lord, we lift up all of these that are listed in the bulletin, that we pray expectantly that you will take care of each one of these. And Lord, as we move forward in this service, we just ask for your guidance, your direction, and just continue to pour your grace and your love upon us. These things we pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Jay. A couple things that I failed to mention at the beginning of the service. We had a wedding here last night of Jenny Bliss and Bobby Green, and I think it was about 250 people, maybe, something like that. Full church. It was just a great occasion, a lot of fun. And so make sure you keep them in your prayers. Should have told you, Jay, I didn't think about that. Sorry about that. So write their names down and as they begin their life together. And also, if you're curious about Christianity, if you're curious about maybe United Methodism or this particular church, there's a class called Newcomers Class today at 1 o'clock. And I invite you to come to that, and we'll just be together for from 1 to 4, and we'll just be able to talk, and you can ask questions, and I'll do my best to answer them, or I'll call Cliff if I don't know the answer. So, anyway, so know that you're welcome to that. It's in the chapel downstairs. All right, our scripture for today is Matthew 25. Matthew 25, if you would either, I hope you brought your own Bible, but if you didn't, the Pew Bible is Matthew 25, and we'll begin with verse 31. Now, for those who are, maybe not so familiar with the Bible, where is Matthew? Is it in the Old or the New Testament? The New Testament. As a matter of fact, the Gospel of Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. So if you turn kind of toward the back of your Bible, you will find the New Testament and find the book of Matthew. Once you find that, turn to Matthew 25, 31 through 40. Close your Bible on your finger and stand with me if you would. If you're able, raise those Bibles high above your head and let's say our Bible pledge together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing with me as we read Matthew chapter 25 and begin with verse 31. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the King will answer them, 'Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.'" Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. If there were one scripture in your life that summarizes what Jesus is about, a scripture that to you encapsulates His ministry, what would that be? What scripture? Philippians 4:13. John 3:16. Anybody else? Is there a scripture that as, you know, you just, if you're out on the street and people are talking about it and you say, "Now remember, like John 3:16, for God so loved the world." Huh? He came into the world not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Powerful stuff. Well, you know, for me, for much of my life, I thought of John 3:16 as a scripture. And most of you probably can repeat it by heart, right? Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only. And you see, that begotten is important. You know why that begotten is important? You know, if you're listening during the Trinity Sunday, you know, you'd remember that. No, I'm just kidding. Begotten is not made, right? Right? Begotten was way before anything else was. Begotten is now, and begotten is beyond. All right? That's what begotten is. It's not made. It's begotten, right? So that is an important word in that. But you know what? There's a time in my life when I was Methodist because my parents were Methodist. But at some point along the way, I chose to become a United Methodist. And today, one reason why I am a United Methodist pastor is because of our Wesleyan heritage. Now, for those of you who don't know, John and Charles Wesley, they were amazing men, but John had a practical way of viewing the world. And they were the two men that started the Methodist movement. The Methodist movement. We call John Wesley a practical theologian. A practical theologian. And it just makes a whole lot of sense to me as one who grew up on the farm and then got into the sciences, and now I'm a pastor. It just practical theology that John Wesley has makes a lot of sense to me. And I love the United Methodist Church because of the Wesleyan heritage that we have. Well, as Jay said, Dave Bollinger and I were at our Missouri annual conference this last weekend. Now, conferencing together was huge to John Wesley, and therefore in the United Methodist Church, we do a lot of conferencing at many different levels within the church. The Missouri Annual Conference is a time when all the Missouri United Methodist pastors get together, and then for each pastor, a layperson goes to represent the church as well. So, for instance, if we had two appointed pastors, then we would send two lay representatives to annual conference. All right, does that make sense? Because John Wesley was really big on equal representation between the clergy and the laity. Well, that means that 1,500 to 2,000 people gather at the Expo Center in Springfield. And we have plenary sessions of business, we have worship, we have Bible study, we catch up with old friends, and we hear what the United Methodist Church in Missouri has done over the last year and what our plans are for the next year at least. And it's really amazing how in many ways, you know, every year there are parts that I wish I could take everyone with me and let you see what the United Methodist Church is doing around the world. Don't get me wrong. There are some parts where you need all the candy and coffee you can muster to stay awake. But there are parts where, and I know I, as a pastor, sometimes you get in trouble with the word pride. But I just know that you would have a Christian pride to be a part of the United Methodist Church because of what's taking place in Missouri, in the United States, and around the world because of you and because of your support, both giving yourself, your service, and your financial support as well. Well, anyway, it was an excellent conference overall. I would say it was one of the better conferences in the last several years, in my humble opinion. But I was so excited this year because a fellow United Methodist pastor named Michael Slaughter was one of the guest speakers. Now, you have to understand, Michael Slaughter is a man that I have studied since I went into the ministry. Many of you probably have read his books. Anybody, does that ring a bell? Have you probably studied it? Yeah, studied it in Sunday schools, possibly, in your Sunday school classes. But he is a man that in seminary, I studied in my evangelism courses, I've read his books, and over the years I've tried to emulate many things in different churches that that he has done. And God, through Michael, took a church that worshipped around 100 in a small town named Ginghamsburg, Ohio, and he whittled it down to 50 to 75, and then God began growing this ministry to a point that Ginghamsburg, UMC, worships around 5,000 people today. It is one of the premier churches, not only in the United Methodist Church, but in the church. And this was the first time that I've ever been able to see him live and hear him speak live. His message really spoke to my heart. Now, have you ever noticed that whenever you're just beginning to understand something and you're talking about it and you can grab at it here and here and here, and but it's kind of fuzzy, it's out of focus, you know what I'm saying? You're just beginning to understand. A lot of things make sense to you, but you haven't put the whole, like what I say, the connect the dot picture. You haven't put it all together yet, and you don't fully understand exactly what the picture is. Well, some of the things that, that's why you're all looking at the screens. I thought it was because my head was shining or something. Couldn't stand the glow there. But anyway, that's what he looks like. His talk helped me kind of put some things together. Now, you've heard a lot of these things. At least I hope you remember that you've heard a lot of these things. Because I've been, like I said, grabbing at it over here and over here, and I just haven't put things together yet. And he really helped me put it together. But I want to metaphorically chew on his message for the next couple of weeks, and let's just see where it leads us. Now, before we watch this video, now know that it's about a 5-minute video, because it's I want to set this up for future weeks. But see that banner? It's not a banner. I don't know what it's called, but it says, Feed My Sheep. I want to lift up to you, as you see that during the video, a friend of Jamie's and mine from Liberty United Methodist Church made that. And what it is, he is really into mission work, as many are in this church. And whenever he would go to a place that's ravaged by a hurricane or a flood or whatever it was, he would take a piece of wood or several pieces of wood and take it home and collect it. When he got enough, now you have to understand, this is like 8 or 10 foot tall and maybe, 5 foot wide. I don't know for sure how big it was. That is all wood, and none of it is stained. So the color of the wood is the wood as he found it. The only thing he did was put it together in a collage and varnish it or whatever. And it was just gorgeous. It was the centerpiece the entire weekend for annual conference. So in this message where we're talking about missions and service, it's interesting that what was hanging there was made because of a man who's been to so many places in his service that he was able to get enough wood to create this collage. So listen to Michael Slaughter and his message, and we'll go from there.
Well, I am always honored and humbled to stand before my sisters and brothers in this United Methodist Church. This is a great church because I come from a background where I was like never coordinated and, never really played sports. If I did, I always set the bench and so forth. And this is the only community in the world that said, not only can you be on our team, but you can be a starter on our team. So I so appreciate this great community. And those who have gone before us, those faithful saints, I met my wife in our MYF group. Those faithful saints that go before us when I was really struggling in my high school years. I finished my junior year in high school with 4 F's and a D minus. And it was only the people in the church who told me that God had a great plan for my life. And we need to keep telling young people that God has a great plan for their life. Well, we're talking about changing the world. Some of you are wondering what this monitor is. I always like to remind people about what matters most to God's heart. We started this monitor a few minutes ago to remind us that while we meet during this hour, one child dies every 4 seconds from a hunger-related cause in the world. Every 4 seconds. That doesn't count one child who dies every 30 seconds from malaria. So what you're seeing up here only represents children who are dying in this next hour from a hunger-related cause. Now, we're meeting here today. Last week, Carolyn and I were in North Georgia. Monday, we go to our own conference in West Ohio. We're spending a lot of money in these meetings. And one of the questions we really need to ask ourselves today, in all of the planning and so forth that we do, all of the things that we vote on, why church? What is our mission? Now, the mission that we have is not something that we can reformulate or decide, because Jesus gave it to us right after the resurrection. Now, here's what Jesus said. First words out of Jesus' mouth after the resurrection: as the Father has sent me, so I send you. That's our mission, right? We are defined by the mission of Christ. Everything we do has to be defined by the mission of Christ. Not only did he give us the mission, he's given us the means to accomplish it. He said, blew on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So this mission will not be accomplished through our own means or resources, but through the supernatural means of God. So never can we say we're too small, we can't do it, we don't have the money. It would be a nice thing to do, but we can't afford it. So we have the mission. We are the company of Jesus' disciples who are giving ourselves with him sacrificially, not in donations, sacrificially for the life of the world. Now, the reason that I wrote this book, Change the World, Recovering the Message and Mission of Jesus, the working title was Recovering the Jesus Hermeneutic. Now, if you haven't been to seminary, hermeneutic means interpretation, because, you know, Jesus' interpretation and understanding of the scripture was much different than the institutional religious folk of his day. As a matter of fact, Jesus' hermeneutic was considered to be heretical. Am I right? So we need to recover the heresy of Jesus' sisters and brothers. Now, to understand the mission of Jesus, we need to really see it in the context of the messianic passages of Isaiah, which is where I want us to go today. So if you have your Bibles, go to Isaiah 58 with me. I want us to see it in the context. We sometimes have bought into a Gnostic understanding of the gospel, where the purpose, we perceive the purpose of Jesus, that Jesus died and rose from the grave to get us into some kind of disembodied heaven. Jesus didn't die to get us into some platonic disembodied heaven, but to get heaven and the resources of heaven into earth, sisters and brothers. We sit around and we worry too much about how we're going to get people in the church. Jesus wasn't focused on getting people into the religious institution, but the folks who were in the religious institution in the world.
What do you think about that? Slaughter said Jesus didn't die to get us to some disembodied heaven. He died to get heaven and the resources of heaven to earth through us religious folk. What do you think about that? You know, I don't know about you, but so many times in my life, I have heard that our purpose is to get into that disembodied heaven. Anybody else heard that? Yeah. What would that look like? The fact that Jesus didn't die to get us in what he called some platonic disembodied heaven, you know, Greek philosophy, right? But he died to get heaven and the resources of heaven to earth. What would that look like? So what is the mission that Jesus' disciples, what is the mission that we are to accomplish through the supernatural means of God that he spoke of? Now, he mentioned And he couches this in Isaiah 58. So let's turn to Isaiah 58. Some of you I heard getting it out as he asked you to get it out. Now, as he mentioned, this is part of the messianic passages of Isaiah, the later passages. And we're going to read 58, 1 through 4. Okay, so let's turn to Isaiah 58. Now, Isaiah is a major prophet in the Old Testament. And I guess maybe the easiest way to find it is to turn to the book of Psalms and then keep turning to the right and you'll find it eventually. Isaiah 58. Now listen what this is. God speaking to a prophet. So in other words, God's telling the prophet what to tell God's people. Isaiah 58, 1. Shout out, do not hold back, lift up your voice like a trumpet, announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet, day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments, they delight to draw near to God. And they ask these questions: why do we fast, but you do not see? Why we humble ourselves, but you, God, do not notice? God says, look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Now, when we talk about fasting, yes, we still fast in this day and age. Many people do it, and many of you probably fast as well, maybe even on a weekly basis. But you could replace that word fast with worship in Isaiah. So, because many of us worship on a weekly basis, or some of us even more than that. And so, God says, you know, you worship today, and your voice is not heard on high because you worship only to quarrel and fight and strike with a wicked fist. Right? Now, something that he says that I thought was really interesting, and Dave and I chuckled about it, because he says, you know, we're arguing in the church about contemporary music and traditional music, and God's not hearing either one. That's kind of funny, but on the same point, it's kind of ouch, isn't it? Kind of ouch. Slaughter said, Jesus didn't die to get us to some disembodied heaven. He died to get heaven and the resources of heaven to earth through us religious folk. You see, the people in Isaiah are crying out to God and asking this question: God, why aren't you noticing? Why aren't you listening, God? Well, why isn't God listening? Well, they are perverting the mission of God. What do we do when things aren't going right in our life? What is one thing that we do? Yeah, we pray. A really obvious one that he mentions later on is 9/11. Now, wherever you were in church the weeks after 9/11, whether it was here or someone else, how many churches experienced growth in those weeks after 9/11? Nobody? Yeah, raise your hand. It's all right. This joint works. Trust me. All right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, now the question is, all right, things started settling down. Well, before I go there, even the news media felt it was okay to tell people to get on their knees and pray, didn't they? Yeah. How long did that take to change? 4-6 weeks. That was a big deal, so maybe a little longer, right? Slowly crept out, right? And then all of a sudden the atheists started speaking up, and you know the story, right? How about worship attendance? How long did it take that worship attendance to die back down? Yeah. You see, we're kind of unique, maybe not unique, obviously not unique, because Isaiah's writing about it about 70 BC. But here in the United States, when things aren't going right, we run to God, don't we? We get on our knees and we pray. But whenever life is really good, things are going pretty, I mean, they may not be where we really want it to be, buying yachts and stuff, right? But things are pretty good. We're comfortable. We're not in that much pain, right? We're able to eat. Sometimes we leave God over there, don't we? Yeah. See, what that is, that perverts the mission of God. Because we are using God, we are creating our own personal gospel. Because when do we ask for God's help? When do we worship and pray to God? When we have things that aren't going right in our life, right? You see, in Isaiah's time, they are making God's mission a gospel about me, a privatized faith. And see, that's with the John 3:16 thing. You see, that's where that issue comes out. How many times have you heard it preached that you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior so you'll go to heaven? Now, don't get me wrong. I believe you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right? But the thing is, what we need to do after the fact is do God's mission on this earth. We need to live a life of God's presence on this earth. We need to bring heaven's resources to earth. Amen? You see, we need to be a circuit for God. Sorry, that's kind of language I use. It may not be the best, but we need to be a circuit. What does a circuit do? What happens if that circuit's broken? Doesn't work very good, does it? You see, we're called to be a circuit for God's blessings on this earth. And from what Michael Slaughter says, and I have to admit, I agree with it, Jesus died to bring heaven's resources to earth. Jesus died to bring God's healing presence to earth. And who is that circuit to be? You, me, us, the church. That is what the church is about. That's why he said that Jesus wasn't concerned about getting people in the church. First of all, the church didn't exist. But he wasn't worried about getting people in the synagogue either, right? What he wanted is people to be what they believed, to act as if they really did believe what they say they believe. Does that make sense? Am I talking clearly today? All right. I think a lot of you are afraid. You don't need to be. But you know, we never do this idea of privatized faith, do we? We never only call on God when we need something, right? Right? We're always giving God praise and glory, and we have a prayer life, right? Isn't that, aren't we? Sorry if I'm meddling, but just keep your mind open. All right? Because believe me, I got meddled on myself. You see, here's the message. What we learn through all of this is that we can't separate our relationship with God and our relationship and our responsibilities with people. Let's read that together. What we learn through all of this is that we can't separate our relationship with God and our relationship and our responsibilities with people. Remember Jesus' word in John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, so I what? First words out of the resurrected Christ's mouth. So tell me, what does that look like? What does that look like? If our relationship with God reflects... No, let me see. It would be the other way around, wouldn't it? Wait a minute. If our relationship and our responsibilities that we hold up for other people reflects our relationship with God, what does that look like? What does that look like? Well, you remember our scripture for today? I'm going to skip on down here a little bit. He separates the goats from the sheep. And then the king will say to those at his right hand, the sheep, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and what? I was thirsty and you. I was a stranger and you. I was naked and you. I was sick and you. I was in prison and you. Then the righteous will answer him. Now this is interesting to me, because the goats and the sheep say this exact same thing. And we've been through this in newcomers class, if you've been through this. Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them. Let's read it together. Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. What does that look like in this community? What does that look like for Warsaw United Methodist Church? What does it look like when our relationship with God and our relationship and our responsibilities with people are the same? What does that look like? So in the name of Christ, what are we to do? How does God intend to release the resources of heaven to earth? Yeah, speak up, because we have communion yet, you know. We've got to move this along a little bit. All right. I want you all to get your bulletins out. Look at the top of the announcement page. See the bold sentence there? That is, the bold sentence is our mission, our purpose in this community, in the world. Let's read it together. Our mission is to make new Christian disciples by spreading God's hope and serving as the hands of Jesus in our church, community, and the world. Where do you think you all came up with that? That was here long before I came around. Where do you think you all came up with that? Our mission is to make new Christian disciples by spreading what? And serving as what? Where? Boy, that sure sounds a lot like the scripture for this morning, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound a lot like Isaiah, even in the Old Testament? Well, I don't know, Eric. I haven't heard that yet. Well, turn to Isaiah with me. 58. Let's begin reading at verse 6. And God says, to continue what I've already read for you, is not this the fast that I chose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house? Wait a minute. This almost sounds like Matthew 25, doesn't it? Wow, but this is written in like 70 or 80 BC, right? Now listen what happens. God says, and to bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Now, God says, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and what? The Lord will answer. Remember, they were complaining, Lord, we're fasting and you're not paying attention to me. We never feel that way, do we? Dear God, I'm in all this agony and this problems and you don't even act like you care. I've said that prayer, haven't you all? But what's God's answer to that? Share your bread with the hungry. Bring the homeless poor into your house. If you see the naked, cover them. If you do these things, your light shall break forth like the dawn. Your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help and he will say what? Here I am. If you remove the yoke from among you, if you remove the yoke from among you. Now that's in here, isn't it? That's not out there. He says, if you remove the yoke from within you, from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Folks, that is what a relationship with God looks like. Where that circuit is free both ways. Not only for us to be a blessing to others, but for God to bless us as well. Our mission, First United Methodist Church of Warsaw, is to make new disciples by spreading God's hope and serving as the hands of Jesus in our church, community, and world. Remember, what we learn through all of this is that we cannot separate our relationship with God and our relationship and our responsibility with people. Let's read that together. What we learn through all of this is that we can't separate our relationship with God and our relationship and our responsibilities with people. So I leave you this morning with this question. When you look in the mirror, when you look in the mirror and you ask yourself, dear God, do I know you? What's your answer? Sounds pretty straightforward, doesn't it? Do you feed the hungry? Do you clothe the poor? Do you provide leadership in the church so that the church can feed the hungry and clothe the poor? Provide the thirsty with something to drink? You see, let's read it together. What we learn through all of this is that we can't separate our relationship with God and our relationship and our responsibilities with people. Gracious and holy God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for pastors like Michael Slaughter who stand up and preach your word, God. And we pray for all those churches, no matter what denomination, that go too far to the left. And I don't mean conservative and liberal. I'm just saying away from your word, God. Help this church, help this pastor stay in your word, God, so that we can continue to follow your guidance, so that we continue to be you, Lord, to those who are around us in this community and eventually the world. Anoint us, God. Bother us. Bug us. Anoint us in a way that we can't sleep at night until we do your will in this community. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. As you prepare your hearts and minds for Holy Communion, let us turn to One Bread, One Body. It's number 620 in your hymnals. And with those that are helping out this morning with communion, please come forward at this time. About a month ago, I asked you, I said, what does communion mean to you? As you have been in the church, you might have called it the Lord's Supper. You might have called it Eucharist, Holy Communion. And I ask you, what is communion to you? Do you remember that question? Have you thought about that? What is this bread and this juice to you? You know, the church has told you for years what the church believes, but ultimately it's what you believe that matters, isn't it? Is it something that it's just bread and juice? Is it something that maybe you like it when you come forward and other people see you come forward to take communion? Is it more than bread and juice? Is it something much deeper in your life? What is communion to you? To the disciples, it was a party, actually, called the Passover. Now, as I've said many times in this church, I think the church does not party enough. Can I get an amen on that? Yeah. You know, it's called the Passover because when the Hebrew people were back in Egypt, thousands of years before, and they were slaves, and God told Moses, I'm going to send the angel of death. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to put the blood of the lamb over your doorpost. And if you do that, the families that put the blood of the lamb over their doorpost, they will be saved from the angel of death. Their eldest child will be saved. And so Moses goes and tells the Hebrew people, and those that listen put the blood of the lamb over their doorpost. And sure enough, the angel of death passed over their house. And so for years, even today, Jewish folks celebrate the Passover because God saved them. The blood of the lamb saved them from the angel of death. And so the disciples, they were partying because of this. This was a great excuse to party because of how God had blessed them so many years before. And the thing is, that's what this meal was to them. They were celebrating. It was that type of atmosphere. And suddenly, Jesus did something that was out of the ordinary. You see, he stood up. And of course, since it was Jesus, it grabbed everyone's attention. And he took a loaf of bread and he gave thanks. And then he said, brothers, this is my body, broken for you. Each time you eat this meal, remember me. And then they ate some more. And after a while, he stood once again and he took one of the chalices that were at the table. I'm sure it was much smaller and less pretty than this. And he gave thanks to God. And once again, he looked at his best friends and his brothers, and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. Each time you drink from this cup, remember me, for it forgives sins. Holy God, we come before you today with this meal. Bread and juice simply, Lord. Gracious and holy God, it is you that makes it so much more. It is you and what you did through Jesus Christ with his death, resurrection, and his blessings upon the disciples and us that make it so much more than simply bread and juice. And so, Lord, today as we take this meal, Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, I ask God in Jesus' name that you anoint this congregation so that this bread and this juice is so much more than that. We ask for your powerful anointing to be upon these elements, God. Make them be your body and your blood broken and shed for our sins. In Jesus' holy name, amen. At this church, we take two different types of communion, the wafer and the small cups, and one by intinction, which is a piece of bread dipped into juice. whichever you choose is equally valid and fine. And as we serve each other up here, we ask that you prepare yourselves for us to prepare to serve you. Are there others who would like communion brought to you? We have sung together, we have heard God's word together, we have eaten a meal together. Now let us give of our tithes and our offerings to God's ministry in this church and around the world. The ushers, please come forward.
Don't forget to put your connection cards in the plate. If you haven't filled them out, do so. And tithes and these offerings, we just ask that you bless us and help us to open our hearts and our bodies with our time and our talents also. And Lord, we ask that you take these offerings, bless them, multiply them, and spread them throughout Warsaw and the world. These things we pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
Our closing song is number 567, Heralds of Christ. Sing the first and last verse.
Thank you so much for being here today. We hope and pray that you have felt God's presence in your life as you worship with this congregation today. Okay, read about the garage sale. Family Fun Festival is having a fundraiser in the garage sale, which is a garage sale. So make sure you read about that, and you can bring things to the church. I'm not sure where. Ask Debbie Chapin. She just walked out there. So ask her where to bring your things if you have garage sale items to bring. So it's in the bulletin, I believe. So go from this place knowing that you are a child of God and you are called by God to bring God's healing to this world, to be that joy that maybe no one, that one person in your life hasn't felt before. And you can be that circuit of God's blessing. Amen. So be that. Be Jesus' hands and feet in the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may you experience God's shalom this week. Amen.